We were originally approached by Marshall from sbs.com.au, and we were working on a multicultural history portal project in general. And he mentioned that there was this new program that was coming out that dealt with asylum seekers, which was extremely intriguing to us. And so we thought about it a little bit about what we would want to do online and what we could use, you know, knowing the medium that was available to us, and felt that a simulation was the best way of giving people an understanding of what the experience would actually be like to actually be an asylum seeker. What we wanted to achieve with it was we wanted people to understand the tough choices that asylum seekers have to make, that they have no other options, and that decisions to go with illegal people smugglers, the decisions that they make about their family are out of a sort of a desperation. At the same time, we didn't really want to create something that was sensational, so it was a sort of a propaganda tool. We wanted to make it as realistic as possible so that people could make up their own minds. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be as accurate as possible. So from an editorial perspective, it was really critical that we got that information right. There's obviously a lot of groups on all sides that are politically motivated, so we wanted to try and be as objective about it as possible. And also we wanted to make it really, you know, a good, interesting experience so that, you know, because in many cases it takes 17 years to actually get your permanent residency. We didn't want to create a 17-year experience that was painful online. So it's about turning it into an interesting activity as well.
How long did it all take to put together?
A little over a year from research and scripting. And then there were like 60 participants that we had to shoot as part of the simulation. And then to do the development and play balancing. So
you say it was a project that was intriguing for you by its nature. Were you actually surprised by any of the stuff you found out while you were building it?
We were surprised. It was eye-opening. And, you know, some of the things that were really surprising from the stories that we heard were the efforts that governments would go to try and prevent refugees from coming to their countries despite signing the UN Convention.
Like what?
Well, we heard stories of literally people from departments of foreign affairs being in the airports in foreign countries, interrogating people who'd legally bought tickets to come to the countries to try and discourage them from actually reaching their soil. And a lot of the rhetoric that we hear in the news is all about deterring people from actually reaching that country's soil, because at that point, legally, we are bound to you know, follow the UN protocol. And so a lot of the discussions that we're hearing in the news now about trying to stop asylum seekers before they come to Australia and process them in other places all feeds into the fact that if they actually get here, we actually have to follow the protocol.
In the time since you began putting it together, obviously, there have been a fair few changes to asylum policy. Do you have any hopes that this would sort of influence people either in the way they vote or the way they think at all?
It's true that the policies change, but a few things have stayed consistent. One is the experience of a refugee, of an asylum seeker, someone who has to leave because they're under threat for their lives. That hasn't changed at all, and that's really what we're about, is trying to give people an understanding of what's going through the minds of people that have no other choices whatsoever. And, you know, the decisions of the government that they make, you know, they're really just sort of like, in some respects, pawns within that game. So that hasn't really changed that much at the end of the day.